Yes, ma'am.
Good evening.
Good evening, Hannah.
Do you have any questions tonight, Jasmine?
I have a little question about our fasting tomorrow.
About what?
Is that tomorrow fasting for Purim?
Tomorrow is the fast of Easter. Tomorrow
yeah.
is the fast of Easter. It's a sunrise
okay.
to sunset fast.
Sunrise to sunset, okay.
So in Atlanta, it goes from 5:10 in the morning to 6:45 at night.
Yeah, it'll be pretty much the same in Florida. Do we, is that we cannot work either?
You can work. It's not a holiday that you work, that you don't work.
Okay. Well, it's just trying to make sure.
We're waiting for other people to come on as well.
Okay. Are we having class tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, Thursday night? Yes, we're having a Zohar class tomorrow night.
Okay.
And don't forget to use the Easy Fast meditation.
It has to be done tonight or maybe early in the morning?
Depends on what time you're going to get up. If you're going to get up till after sunrise, then do it tonight.
I guess I'll be better off.
It's safer to do it tonight, and if you get up early and are able to eat something, do it then again.
I never eat before 5:30 in the morning.
Well, as I said, you know, it's your choice. Everybody does
yeah.
things differently.
I understand.
I'm sorry?
No, I'm just waiting.
Me too. Good evening. Is that Malka?
Yes, sir. It's Malka.
Malka, do you have any questions for tonight?
Yeah.
Okay. You want to go ahead and ask it now or wait a little bit?
Oh, I can ask now. Can I do the 42 names of God and the 72 names of God? 42 names of God, that we know those names and when the Israel, when the Hebrews left for Mount Sinai. Is that correct? On timeline.
Your phone is breaking up, so please
okay.
take us off speaker. That usually helps.
Yeah. Okay, sir.
No, it's still happening. But what you had said something about the 42 name letter name of God, but then you also said the 32 letter name of God, and I'm not sure what you were referring to.
No, I said the 72 name of God.
Okay. So there's the 42 letter name of God and the 72 letter, or the 72 names of God. Now, what is the question about them?
When did the 42 names of God, was that during the Exodus?
No.
I'm looking for a timeline between the two.
The 42 letter name of God was used by Hashem to create our world. The 72 names of God was given to Moses when he was sent into Egypt to battle with Pharaoh. It was engraved on the staff that Hashem gave him at the burning bush.
So the difference between it's 30 names, correct? So was the 30 names for the...
The difference is not 30 names.
Okay.
The 42 letter name means there's 42 letters. The 72 names means there's 216 letters.
Okay.
Now, if you want to compare letters to letters, then you have to subtract 42 from 216, which I haven't ever done. So, let's see. So it's 174. And I don't recognize off the top of my head that number and can relate it to the Hebrew word letters involved.
Okay. I was just wondering, the extra letters. 216 was the time
three
that they were in.
Right, three letters times 72 names. So there's 216 letters. And that is the gematria. That's the gematria of many things. One thing it's the gematria of is the name of the Sephirah of Gevurah has a gematria of 216.
Which is on the side of judgment, right?
Right.
Okay.
And you would be better off, rather than subtracting the letters, you would be better off adding the letters. So 216 plus 42 is 248, if I'm not mistaken. Let me think. No, 258.
And what's the gematria of 258?
Well, 200 represents the 10 Sephirot times 10 Sephirot of direct light, and 10 Sephirot times 10 Sephirot of returning light.
Okay.
And then the 58 represents comfort, which is the name Noah. And in reverse order, it represents Chen, Chet Nun, which stands for the hidden wisdom, concealed wisdom.
Okay.
So the 258, the 42 letter name of creation, and the 216 letters of the 72 names, the combination, one is creation and one is processing. You know, the living, the life of process. As you go from beginning creation, or the beginning point to the end point, you're in the middle of the process. And so what it's describing is the idea of the completion of the direct light and returning light, which do complete each other. And that it's completing each other. It's a complete light, which reveals the hidden wisdom. And as you learn the two sets of names, as you learn to utilize the two sets of names at deeper and deeper level, you're going to be completing and revealing the hidden wisdom. That's what this study of Kabbalah is all about.
So it's the two sets of letters, which is the 42 and the 72 names. Is that what you're referring to? The two?
No, I'm just looking at what the numbers are. 216 plus 42.
Okay.
It's equal to 258. And then I'm parsing the 258 into two numbers, 58 and 200.
Right.
And then I'm looking at what those two numbers represent.
Okay. Anybody else come on? May I have several questions?
I have a question by email that I don't know if Ruby came on or not. And if she wants to ask the question, if she wants me to summarize it and ask it myself and answer it. The question is, Ruby, are you on? Does anybody have any other questions before I go into what Ruby's question was?
No, I'm on. Brandela, I have no questions.
Okay, Brandy, it's nice to hear from you.
The question
that Ruby is asking is, we have been studying the general preface essay by Rabbi Ashlag. We completed it last night. And her question is about that, and also the 10 luminous emanations by Rabbi Ashlag, and the Etz Chaim, the Sefer, the book Etz Chaim, that's a direct description of the Ari. And what Ruby is saying is they're hard to understand. And she's asking, why do these sages make it so difficult to understand? Why do they use these code words? Why does the Torah reuse the code words? So is the question clear? Does everybody understand the question and why, what is being asked?
Yes.
Does anybody have an answer to the question?
Mine is the hidden wisdom is revealed, through the teachings of going outside your vessel to receive more wisdom.
That's a very good reason. That is absolutely one of the reasons. To understand the power of the letters, to understand the power of the tools of Kabbalah, we have to realize that in earlier generations, their desire to receive was much higher than ours. As an example, Alexander the Great had a desire to conquer the world. You know anybody in today's world, any politician, any general who wants to conquer the world?
Yes. Not so much who? General, but...
Who?
Who wants to conquer the world?
Yeah.
Maybe the conquer and the... maybe I'm not quite understanding the definition of conquer, but to... have the power over the peoples of this world. I think there's many.
I would agree with you that there are many people, both men and women, who have a desire to be powerful. They have a desire to be honored. But they don't have a desire to conquer the world. They don't have a desire to be honored by every human being. They want to control America. They want to control Russia. They want to control China. They want to control Korea. They don't want to control the whole world. The desire to receive has fallen, is becoming smaller. As the generations flow in distance or in years from Adam. In earlier generations, there was a desire to conquer the world, to be honored by the world, to be dealing with all of the humanity. But as each generation comes into the world, the desire to receive of that generation is considered less than the desire to receive of the earlier generations. And if your desire to receive is less, your ability to draw the light of God, the light of creation, is lessened. Your ability to create chaos and havoc in the world is lessened. Another metaphor to explain that concept is children. You have a child who's 3 years old. What is his desire? To be in control of a merry-go-round? He doesn't think in terms of controlling a spaceship or controlling a military army. He thinks in terms of controlling his family, of being in control and saying, no, I don't want to do that. That's his control. That's his desire to receive. But as he grows to an adult, his desire to receive grows, because that is what is supposed to happen. That is the meaning of growing from childhood to adulthood. But in the context of generations, as each generation comes into the world, the desire to receive of that total generation has lessened. And your ability to draw the complete light has lessened because your desire is less. So when these words were being written, the sages were revealing the secrets of Kabbalah. They were concealing through code words so that negative people, selfish people, with big desires to receive, would not be able to take control, would not be able to manifest the light that could create chaos in the world to the degree that it could destroy the world. Because ultimately, the letters can destroy the world. They can also create worlds. It depends on how you use them. Are you sharing in your consciousness or selfish in your consciousness? It's exactly the same system that is used in the negative system, in the negative Sephirot. It's the same light used in the negative Sephirot that's used in the positive Sephirot. And so it had to be concealed. It had to be concealed with code words. It had to be concealed in that way. And then on a different level, if you look at the classes that we teach, the class on Sunday, which is a class I get most students attending, everything is revealed. There's no code words, and every code word is explained in the handouts. But when we get to the classes on Monday night and Tuesday night is the Tikkuni Zohar, and Thursday night is the Zohar, as we go through these classes, those that are the advanced classes are going to be more difficult to understand. Why? Because it isn't really about understanding. What you understand means your ego understands. The Torah is energy. It's not morals and ethics. It's not human understanding. It's the Creator's wisdom. How much of it can you understand? Maybe more than I. Maybe more than 10 people. But you can't understand it at all. But you can utilize it all. You can receive all of its energy. And when you receive all of its energy, you're able to utilize that portion of the energy that you have gotten to in your spiritual level. With that understanding, with that recognition that I don't need to understand. So what is the question? Why is someone asking, why is it so hard to understand? Because it's hard to understand to help you grow spiritually. If you read a verse from the Zohar and you read the English translation, you understand 2% of it as an example, as a metaphor. But next year you'll understand 3% or 4%. After 20 years, you may understand 30%. But you're receiving each time 100% of the energy. Every time you read it, you receive 100% of the energy. But you're only going to be able to utilize the energy that's level, that's equivalent to your level of consciousness, to your spiritual level. It's not about understanding ever. It's about utilization. It's about receiving the energy. Kabbalah means to receive. Receiving understanding is one aspect. Receiving wisdom is so much more. Utilizing wisdom is so much more. This is why they wrote in code words. This is why it's so difficult to understand. Because as you grow spiritually, your understanding expands as well. And each year, you understand more. And you're able to utilize more of the 100% of the light that you're receiving. Does anybody have any questions? Any other questions? Any continuing questions?
I have another question, actually two.
Go ahead.
Could you expunge more on when Adam left Eve or separated from her for 130 years? Not quite sure if I understand understand to a certain percent why he thought he needed to do that because of the sin of Cain. And somewhat putting the blame on her, where you say he separated, did he go to another? I always thought he stayed in the area close to the Garden of Eden, close to the four rivers. Where did he go? And exactly what does that mean, he separated from you for 130 years?
There are many different midrashim to answer that question. There's a whole subject called the inner earth, because there are seven inner earths, seven dimensions of the earth. There's seven heavens, meaning seven dimensions of the spiritual worlds. When Adam separated from Eve, he separated on one level because he blamed her for bringing death into the world. It was her child who killed his child. Now, the two children were the children of both of them. But there's an understanding that Cain was not Adam's child, because Cain had the negativity of the Nahash, of Satan, was connected to the other side. It's like the parents that have two children, that one has affinity with the mother and one has affinity with the father. It's a very common experience. Yes, we're taught to love our children equally, but most of us don't, because we have greater affinity with one child over another. Adam blamed Eve for bringing death into the world, so he said, I'm not going to have intercourse, I'm not going to be intimate, because that creates chaos. The pleasure I receive is not worth the pain of losing a child. So he separated from Eve. That's what the Torah says. The Midrash then talks in terms of he fell through seven earths, seven different dimensions, and he fell to the lowest one, which is totally black. There's no light at all. And he slowly started to elevate out. But all this time, this 130 years that he was separated from Chava, he was procreating with LL, the negative aspect of Satan. And by doing that, he was fathering children. She was taking his wasted seed from his wet dreams and whatever else. She was taking the seed and nurturing it and creating people. and all of those UFO people that you've heard about, the grays and the blues and the some are 3 feet tall and some are taller, all of those different humanoids who come in UFOs, they're really Adam's children that come from other locations, other dimensions. And the Zohar describes those grays and blues. And when you read the descriptions, they're exactly the same as what modern abductees are describing the grays and the blues today. But those people do not have free will. So they're only coming to connect with something in the physical world, our physical world, that they want. And they're only coming at the direction of Hashem, who has ordered them to deal with people in our world as the consequences of their negative selfish acts. But as human beings elevate, so do these other dimensions elevate. And when Adam came back and fathered Seth with Chava, those inner earths were left alone to develop on their own. Not on their own, because Hashem is always involved in the development of every dimension, every world. But all of these inner earths and all of these angels are actually, all the seven levels of heavens are actually connected to human beings. We have the responsibility for all of these creations, not because we created them, but because we are the pinnacle, the highest level, when we are connected, when we have reached that point of achieving our tikkun, then we're higher than the angels. And we elevate the angels to a higher level. We elevate the inner earths to a higher level. We elevate the people of the inner earths to a higher level. We elevate the animals to a higher level. We elevate the plants and the fish, and everything in our world gets elevated to a higher level. Because we correct ourselves, and that is our responsibility.
So you said that Ava took Adam's seed for 130 years and made children. Are we talking like a golem where you make something out of clay? I mean,
we don't know. We don't know how the negative system created the people of those dimensions. We don't know if she took the wasted seed and put it into a test tube and created it with an egg, and you know, manipulated the DNA, and out came children that don't look like human beings. We don't know.
So all these multicolors of the different worlds, different dimensions. And you mentioned in a prior teaching about, well, I think it was the night of Moses, the teaching that Sunday. And you talked about I call it somewhat like a unicorn and multicolors.
I called it the Nahal.
Which was multicolored, correct? So is that any connection to the Hana?
Excuse me, it's not Nachash, that's the snake. It's Tachash.
Tachash, okay. Does that have any relations in any sort? Because it was only in Moses' time. And something about the possibly the it was used for the tabernacle, the covering of the tabernacle. And which covering were you speaking of?
It was used as the outer covering of the tent. The tent of meeting was made from animal skins, and the animal skin it was made of was called the tachash. And we don't know the meaning of the tachash, so there's all of this speculation, but it's not really speculation. It's mystics who have asked the question and studying these portions, and they've been given these various answers.
So was there many? My understanding is that there was many, I think, Akash, I guess, sounds like.
Correct. There were many, many animals, but they only existed in the generation of the desert, the generation with Moses. And once the temple, the Mikdash, was built, the Tachash disappeared. Some say it went into the inner earth.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the mythical stories from Greece and Rome about centaurs, half animal and half human, about the mermaids, half woman and half fish. All of those different stories are concealed in the Torah in various places, various verses. When you rearrange the letters, all of that, and a mystic, when he meditates upon those letters, depending on the questions he's asking, he receives these answers. And then he puts it down in a story form. Because it has to be concealed.
So what was their purpose? I know that we all have purposes, all animals do. But what did they utilize, the multicolored animals, to cause? What was their purpose? Was it for?
It was the outer covering of the mikdas, the temp, the ohel, the ohel moed, the tent of meeting in the desert.
So their whole purpose was, did they use them as, they would use donkeys or camels or?
No, they were only used for this purpose. They only were created to have their skins used in the Ohel Moed. And when their purpose was completed, they left. There was no need for them to be in the earth anymore. The same way there was no need for Sarah to be in the earth after the binding of Isaac, because she was raising a son and a husband, and when the husband had reached the pinnacle of his spiritual height, which was when he bound Isaac, and Isaac reached the pinnacle of his spiritual height when he accepted the binding, there was no reason for Sarah to still be alive. So she left the world. And that's why right after the binding of Isaac in the Parsha of Vayera, the next Parsha is Chayer Sarah, about Sarah's death.
Right. So I know at this point, Adam and Anna, all of us, we have not corrected that sin as of yet.
Some women have corrected that sin, but all women have not corrected that sin. Certain women have great pain in childbirth, in their period. Other women have a significantly less discomfort during their period. Some women have great pain as a teenager, and it seems to lessen over the as they get older. All of this is an indication that they're correcting a certain small aspect, their particular aspect of the sin of Chava. So some women have corrected it. But the rest of the women still have it to do, or they would not, if it was totally corrected, there would be no more pain in the world in that regard.
Okay.
Any other questions? Have a beautiful evening.
Thank you.
Tomorrow at 4:30, we will have a class on reincarnation. And I think in light of the question that Ruby asked, the reincarnation classes, there's only a few code words. It's pretty clear, other than the fact that we have different names for parts of the soul and levels of the soul. But once you learn it, the information becomes clear. Whereas in other areas, because of the danger of it being misused, those code words have to be left in and have to be discussed. You learn them and then you learn deeper meanings to them. I bid everyone shalom and have a beautiful week.
Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Shalom. Bye.